So, this is the first episode of our TV Miguel podcast, where we talk about a different TV show every week. I am Ben.
I'm Lila.
So our first episode, we decided we'll do The Office. It's a fairly well-known show. If you're not familiar, it's about a paper company in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I don't know if you've heard of it.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a niche. Super niche. So I figured the first thing we'd discuss would be our favorite seasons of the show. We're going to do our top five later, and it seemed like you seem to like later seasons more than most people.
Okay.
It honestly depends. No, first season I feel like you can't even talk about. It's not like awful. The show's getting yeah. grounded, mm-hmm. Whatever. There's some really great episodes in it, but it's not the best. Yeah. I don't find it worth talking about that much.
Yeah, that's fair.
Second season's amazing. That's what they won their Emmy for. It's really good. I'm trying to think. There's so many good episodes in it.
I know the injury, I believe, is...
And the Dundies, which is... but... I like the later seasons because, that's when... Spoiler alert. That's when Jim and Pam get together.
If you don't like spoilers, I don't know if this is the show for you.
Yeah.
But Jim and Pam do get together. I don't know if you heard about it.
/ listening. Yeah. And, I can't help it. It's so good.
I'm more of an early season person. I think towards the end... I mean, 8 and 9 are, not good.
No, I'm, I think I would... I would say more middle of the show's run.
So, 5, 6?
4, 5, 6.
4, 5, 6.
3 is, Three kind of depresses me.
I
love Rashida Jones on Parks and Rec, mm-hmm. but Rashida Jones on The Office. What's her name on the show? Karen. Karen does nothing wrong, which, I understand.
Yeah.
But you don't like her for some reason.
I think you don't like her because she's keeping Pam and Jim apart.
Yeah, exactly. Is the natural. Yeah. So, it's unfair because, she doesn't do that much wrong. Jim's kind of, the worst in season 3.
It really doesn't reflect well on Jim.
No.
The way he acts.
He comes back in season 4, amazing. But, season 3, you lose a little faith in Jim.
I kind of don't like 6 and 7, or more 7, because I think Michael loses his pure selfishness.
Yeah.
And he in certain
episodes... Because he's in love.
Yeah, he acts kind of like a good person, which I kind of hate. I don't like it when Michael's a good person. I like it when he's the worst. I think Michael's at his best when he's the worst, basically.
I think so, too. And also, it's really nice to see Michael happy at the end of season 7. He's, with Holly, who's, so weird, but, a Michael-level weird, which you need. That's nice. But, yeah, if he's not, getting too invested in the personal lives of the people who work for him, then, it's not
it's
awesome.
It's not Michael if he's not overstepping boundaries in a selfish and socially unacceptable way.
Exactly.
And I think Holly's kind of odd to me because Michael, he's kind of the worst, and Holly is, a very...
Holly's
she's
a good
quirky,
person.
But she's a good person.
Definitely.
And Michael is not. I think maybe she made Michael a good person.
Probably.
Where they're going with
because
that.
There's this one part. I think it's the company picnic episode, and Michael sees Holly with her boyfriend from the Nashua branch.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, it's not our time, kind of thing. He kind of understands he needs to not sabotage other people for his own happiness. So I feel like that's definitely a turning point for Michael. He's not... Maybe that's the turning point of his, selfish behavior. Not really, but, as far as his own love life goes. I don't know. You feel bad for Michael, especially because he was with Jan.
That was so weird.
Insane.
That was...
But, I don't know. Which leads...
Yes. Top five episodes.
Top five
Let's
episodes.
Go for it.
Okay. You go first.
I'll try to do all five at once.
Yeah, just list all five.
Okay.
And then I'll list my five.
And then, so my top five. Number five, I have The Injury. 4, I have Fun Run. 3, I have Beach Games. 2, I have Dinner Party. And 1, I have Product Recall, which I think is one of my favorite episodes of television ever, and other people
Product
don't seem to love it as much as I do.
Is Product Recall the one where Jim dresses up as Dwight.
Yes. Okay. That's the opening. So it has the best opening in the whole show.
That is
okay. What's your top five?
Okay. Well, I'll start with my honorable mention, Cafe Disco, which is an often forgotten episode.
It is.
I watched it recently.
I forgot
it's
it.
When Jim, or no, Michael opened, like, he still has his rented office space from when he had the Michael Scott Paper Company, and so he makes a disco cafe. Or cafe disco, if you will, with like an espresso machine, which he calls espresso, which is hysterical. And then he just like makes everyone in the office come and dance to like blow off steam. And first it's just Aaron. And then it's just Aaron like dancing around. And then Angela comes in and is like not having it. And then by the end of the episode, the entire like office is down there dancing, and it's just really sweet and really funny. And one of the funniest things is like really subtle, but there's a limbo rod like to enter the room, and Angela doesn't have to bend down. She just like walks right under it, which is so funny.
She buys all her clothes from American
Girl. Yeah, exactly.
Because Gap Kids is what it was too revealing, right?
Yeah, it's
Gap
too Kids. Flashy. And then there's this also really good part where Kelly and Andy have a dance off, and it's just like, because they're like the two like weirdest, one of two of the
really,
weirder characters.
Really, two of the weirder, I'll give you. And they're like both very odd people. What did you think of Erin? You brought up Erin. I'm ambivalent on Erin. I think she was maybe the best add-on other than Andy, because I think the add-ons they had in the later seasons, I don't think they ever worked at all. I mean, Robert California, maybe the first episode, he was kind of interesting.
Oh, I talk
but
about
after
him.
That, we're just like,
he makes me uncomfortable. Erin, I think, is like not utilized well as a character. Like, I don't like when they make her seem really stupid. I don't think that's funny.
Yeah.
But when she just is like doing kind of crazy, I like her relationship with Michael. There's like this weird paternal aspect that I find really nice.
And she, like, looks up to him.
Right, and so that's what I like about Erin. But when she's just, like, and when she does kind of, like, wild stuff, because she just, like, kind of moves.
She's kind of silly and quirky.
That's nice.
Which
but
I think
they,
was
like,
a good.
But when they, like, they paint her to be an idiot, it's not, I don't find that funny.
Yeah,
like,
she's not supposed to be an idiot, I don't feel like.
And then I have Stressful Leave Part 1. And then my top five, number five, Gossip.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
It's a really good
number
one.
Four, Niagara, Part 1 and 2. So just top notch.
It's late, but still terrible, Michael. It's Michael being the worst.
And Mindy Kaling wrote that up, so I just want to point that out.
Fun right,
Run,
Mindy Kaling.
Also really good. Mm-hmm. Threat Level Midnight, really good. And then number one is Dinner Party. It's just like so many jokes.
So many jokes. I mean, they
moments.
Almost all of them work.
We should just do you want to talk about favorite jokes then?
Sure. I was just gonna go talk about a couple real quick. So injury, I think, the injury I think is great because it's Michael. The other plot of Dwight getting a concussion is like it's like a pretty good plot. It's like an average.
About that.
It's like an average office plot. By which I mean it's pretty funny. But Michael is just. Like, there's no aspect to his character in that episode other than his just attention-seeking, his incessant love of attention. Like, he says, I don't need to be liked. I need to be praised, but I don't need to be liked.
Which, like, I get.
and just being completely selfish and, like, a little pathetic also because he burned his foot on a George Foreman grill.
Because he likes the smell of bacon. Who doesn't? But I don't know. I forget about that episode, but it's really solid.
Really solid. Fun Run. Well, it starts with Meredith getting hit by a car.
Which is comedy gold.
And it starts with Jan in his house. And he's like, she made me breakfast. And she's like, well, she bought the milk.
Oh my God.
And then she's like, this is what I have to come home to. Yeah. And Jan's just like, on the bed.
He's like, domestic bliss. Which is just so terrible.
So sad. So sad. So his sad. Life is just.
But, and then also you see, like, you find out, like, Jim and Pam are seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the whole Alfredo subplot of it, where Michael just keeps, he's carbo loading before a 5K. So he eats fettuccine Alfredo 5 minutes before he's going to run 3.1 miles. And
he thinks 5K is 5,000.
And then Pam walks in on him changing, problematic.
You don't know me, you've just seen my penis.
Yeah, exactly. And then, oh God, there's so many, because it's a long episode, right?
It's an hour.
Yeah.
Or 40 minutes or whatever with ads. Yeah. But it's a double length. Because it's basically two. It's the hit by a car, and then it's the rabies race for the
cure. Right, because she has rabies. Forgot about that. They find out she has rabies. Because so Dwight Michael, put a garbage bag. But on her. Michael's like, oh, well, if I didn't hit her with my car, we wouldn't have known.
Because it's always about him. It's always about why I'm the funniest and I'm the best. And he's the most selfish, and he thinks he's the most giving.
And also, there's one part when they're in the hospital and he's like, do you forgive me? Like, making her, and like, cracks her pelvis or whatever he does.
A tiny crack
in her pelvis. Yeah, exactly. Gossip. There's one part of Gossip where it's when there's just this little blurb when Michael's just going around spreading all the rumors. And like, it is so funny. And because he tells everyone that Stanley's having an affair, and he is, and he needs to try to like combat it. But there's one part towards the end of that where he's like, well, someone's been telling people that I'm a J. Crew model. And Angela goes, that was about Jim. And he's like, no, I said someone here is a J. Crew model, and that's not very nice because people think that models aren't very smart, or like whatever his rationale is. And Angela's like, why would that? Like, it's so funny. And just that whole part, Niagara, we talked about, right?
A little bit at Jim, or Michael just being.
There's one part where they do a flash mob to a Chris Brown song that is amazing. And Dwight, it's like all of them are dancing, and like, you know, and like Jim and Pam are like tearing up because they like act like they hate all the people they work with, but in reality they're really they like care a lot about them. You want to talk about Threat Level Midnight?
What a late seasoner, but
it's season 7.
But it still really holds. It's still really excellent.
And like, you love Holly in that episode.
I don't know if I love Holly. I mean,
I like Holly. She's okay, fun.
In that episode, it's not her fault. She had to bear through that terrible movie and act like she liked it, and she did an okay job.
Yeah, and like,
it's mostly on Michael for like.
I really like the dance scene from Threat Level Midnight.
The Do the Scar. The song.
Yeah, that's a good part. Just seeing all of them really young is really fun, and like seeing like Jim just like in love with Pam from afar. Like, I kind of missed that, even though like you love when they're together, the like lead up to it's really nice.
Yeah, it's painful a little bit,
but it's still good. And then the dinner party, which I have like we talked about our favorite jokes, and I think all of my favorite jokes are from the dinner
party. Are just from the dinner party,
which I feel like is super valid.
Which ones?
Not just jokes, just like bits. So I wrote the entire episode, which is like not helpful, but there's one part when Pam is talking about how hungry she is, and Jan said she would just put in the osteo or whatever it's called, and it takes 3 hours to cook, and Pam's like, what? And she's like, in Spain they don't even eat till midnight, which irrelevant. And then Michael goes, when in Rome, which is like really, really subtle.
It's
but
like perfect.
So
it's
funny.
Like the perfect encapsulation of Michael.
Exactly. And
like
Jan.
Trying. And Jan. How they just don't mix
and
at
there's
all.
There's one little part when they're going, when Jim and Pam first get there, they decide to take them on a tour of the condo. And it's the two of them back and forth. And Pam, Jan's like, babe, do you want to go on the tour first or food first? Up to you, babe. Okay, babe. Like, upstairs or downstairs first? Up to you, babe. And it's just like, babe, back and forth, which comes back, thank God. And then there's the part on the tour that they're looking at the plasma screen TV, and it's like this.
Yeah.
Straight up. And Michael is like, I just stand here all day. Watch the plasma. I love it so much.
And then it moves out. Yeah. And it's like his great accomplishment.
And it moves like maybe half a foot. And then
more pathetic Michael.
What makes it better is in the oral history, they talk about how they could not get through that scene because John Krasinski, who plays Jim, just could not get through. Like, every time he just like pulls the screen out and then moves it back in, they just started laughing. Then there's also the part when they're in their bedroom. One, there's a video camera, which like problematic. And then so Pam's like, oh, that's a cute bench. And Jan's like, oh yeah, that's his bed. And like, you just see Steve, like Michael, like get so small and just curl up on this bench, which is so funny.
And so sad.
So sad, but also like, and it's like he fits perfectly, and it's he kind of does, but yeah. Also.
And you,
it's like a king size bed, and Jan has space problems, so it's fine.
And they hate them both. You hate them both individually,
but you feel
you also hate them together.
Yeah,
you feel like Michael doesn't. Do you feel kind of like Jan deserves it, but you don't feel like Michael deserves
Michael
something
doesn't
that
deserve
bad.
It. Like it's really sad by the end when they finally start eating. Dwight and his old babysitter have showed up, like because they're together. So crazy, and Michael starts dipping. Like what is it, pork, I don't even know, some kind of meat
in his wine,
and starts chewing it, and Jan's like, that's disgusting, and he goes, you know I have soft teeth, why would you say that? And like it's so gross, but you feel so bad. I feel bad for
I guess Jim and Bam, that they just have to put up with their nonsense.
Yeah, and then they leave finally, and Jim steals Hunter's CD, which is amazing. So, welcome back.
Yes, welcome back to TVM Talks TV, where we are talking about TV.
So,
I think we were going over our favorite jokes.
Right.
In the whole show. And I think it kind of goes into favorite characters, which is something else I wanted to cover. Because, I mean, I think Creed has about 20% of all of the best lines in
The
Office.
That's true. And just, like, best movements, like I don't know, there's one part, okay, so there's one episode where Dwight is trying to Jim's co-manager, and Dwight's trying to spy on him. Yeah. And so he gives Jim a wooden mallard and with a recording device inside of it, and like places it in his office as a gift, and Jim figures that out pretty quickly and has Andy come into the office to make it look like he's telling him a secret about Dwight. And he, in reality, he's just playing this opera. And Andy is like, this opera sucks. And like, all you do is hear the music. And then it pans to Creed, who's just crying, like just overcome with emotion.
I think he has like an 80% hit rate in terms of his lines. One of my favorites that I think is often forgotten, because it's like a conversation, not one line, is when Creed says, I want to set you up with my daughter. And Jim says, I'm engaged to Pam. And Creed says, I thought you were gay. And Jim's like, then why would you want to set me up with your daughter? Just like so much confusion and nonsense.
Yeah. There's also a good like Michael moment with Pam, or with Jim, I mean. And it's, he's talking to Jim, and he's like, oh, like, what's going on with you? Like, any ladies? And he's like, yeah, like, I'm dating Pam. He's like, that's still going on? Like, no one knows what's going ever. I'm like, Mike, oh, my God. Just disaster. I was watching the episode where Pam gives birth, and, like, she doesn't want to go to the hospital so she can get an extra night in the hospital room paid by, like, through insurance. And Michael... They eventually get to the hospital, and there's just this scene where Michael's driving them, and he's, like, texting, and they're like, Michael, like, put away your phone. And he's like, I'm texting about you. Like, and because we were talking about Michael's, like, selfishness.
He's so, yeah.
Which is, like, the best part about him, and, like, garners the most laughs. And then later in the episode, Pam's, like, in labor, like, literally pushing. And Michael, like, goes through the double doors, and he's like, family only beyond this point. Perfect. Like, just, like, really assumes.
Just really, like, thinks he's the most important person and wants to be in everyone's lives. I think my favorite Jim and Pam moment of the whole show is in Niagara, at the beginning, when they're talking about how Pam's pregnant, and they mentioned a shotgun wedding, and Jim's like, oh, there's no shotgun. I don't know. And Pam says, it's too late to back out. And then Jim says, well, there's no shotgun, so I might be able to. And I think it's like the most adorable like banter between them of the whole show, before the writers decided to make them hate each other.
Well, they do that like They don't hate each other until like later.
Yeah,
until
like really but late.
There's also a similar thing where Pam's about. It's the episode where Pam gives birth, and they're just sitting in the office, and it's like, they're just talking about what they're gonna do. Oh, they're talking about how they're not gonna get any sleep once the baby's born. And Jim's like, well, if the baby's crying, one of us is going to have to deal with it in the middle of the night. And I said, I'm not helping unless it's a boy. And Pam goes, I cannot wait for that joke to be over. which is also like, they have such like a weird little sense of humor.
It's pretty great. It works. That like nobody else in the office, as the, them are, as like the two normal people, except for maybe Oscar, I would say, is the other like normal person.
And then when like, but when Jim and Pam are together, like, they stoop to like the nonsensical level of that everyone else is at on a regular basis.
Yeah, because Jim's not trying to impress Pam anymore by being above it or anything. Okay. So one of the last few points I want to discuss is Steve Carell recently said that he doesn't think The Office could work today. So do you think that holds true?
It's interesting that he said that because everyone, all the other actors on the show have said that they would want to do it in like a second. That's interesting. But also, I think part of what makes the show unique and very much relevant to its time is it definitely straddles the line of political correctness that I feel like in 2018, the like general public has less of a tolerance for. Mm. Like, some of the stuff that Michael says, and if they're like poking fun at him saying that, like they're well aware that what he says is very offensive at times.
Yeah.
So that's like just smart on the writer's part. Mm-hmm. But I feel like mainstream people who would watch The Office today, I think have less tolerance for that level of political incorrectness.
Yeah, so a piece for the AV Club I read about it said it wouldn't work because Michael never really faces consequences.
Oh, that's true.
Like, he has a happy ending and stuff. But I don't know if necessarily that's accurate because I don't think anybody sees what Michael does and says, I want to be like that. Because everyone hates Michael. You're not supposed to like him. He's not a likable guy. So I don't think anybody sees what he does and says, like, I want to be saying that's what she said all the time. I want to be cool like Michael. They make him look like kind of an idiot in the way he's doing it. So I don't think it glorifies it in any way.
No.
I don't think it makes anybody want to act that way.
They make him look unliked, like, by the office.
Like, I don't think Jim very rarely, like, stands up to Michael.
Yeah.
And it kind of shows, it kind of makes it seem like indifference to what Michael is doing is okay.
Yeah.
Although every once in a while he'll face consequence. Like, when Kelly slaps him in the episode where he's acting racist the first season.
Or, like, when he gets called into corporate and David Wallace is like, Michael, like, get your people in line. Like, when Dwight tries to burn down the building. Like, Michael's in charge. Like, Dwight's did something horrible, but like Michael is in charge.
Yeah. And people don't like it make sometimes it makes it seem like Jim just like looking at the camera. He's like, that's all you have to do is just be like, oh, this is annoying, instead of trying to challenge it.
Yeah. The only time Jim ever really challenges stuff is when it's related to Pam. Like if like the people like Kevin or whoever start saying something offensive and it hurts Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll kind of stick up for the situation.
Although I think Kevin, when they announced the pregnancy, says like, I knew Pam's boobs.
Yeah. Oh my. Jim's like, we're done. And
or when Michael's telling him when Stanley's cheating on his wife, Jim stands up to it because I think that has more like obvious consequences to him.
Right.
And
as both, I think it's definitely at the point where like Michael's like vulgar sense of humor is not going to be stopped by like Jim like eggs him on at times. So at least in like that front, I don't know.
Any closing points?
I think it's pretty clear that we really like this show.
Yeah, if you have not seen The Office, it is on Netflix. It is streaming on Netflix.
If you haven't seen it, we pretty much gave all of it away.
Season one,
Season one's really short, though.
Yeah, it's short. Season two, top tier. Season three, top tier. Four,
seasons
five.
Two through parts of six and parts of seven,
I would
argue,
parts of six, parts of seven.
Are top tier.
Yes.
Eight.
if it didn't exist, I think I wouldn't say the world would be a better place, but I don't think it would be worse.
I think whoever, what's that actor's name?
I can't remember.
He's really good, but he is so creepy. And by the end of it, I'm like super over it. It's not interesting anymore. Season 9, Jim and Pam hate each other. So what's the point?
Why?
By the end of 9, you're good.
Writers of The Office, why did you do that to us?
But it's really, really depressing.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Anyway, on that note. On that cheery note, thank you for watching.
We will see you
/ listening.
Yes, we will see you next time we decide to make one of these.